Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence and You. I'm your host, John Ryan, and my co-host and slash guest is Ann Hirsch for the first part of the show today. And she's been sharing some very significant and enlightening things in reference to hearing, because it's Hearing and Speech Month. But now we're going to take it to the speech part of it. And what I want to do, which is very generic, is what does a speech pathologist do? I mean, obviously they work with the speech, but how do they help people?
Well, speech pathology is basically a focus on issues and concerns within the communication process. And we do a broad-based type of therapy. And when I say broad-based, I'm hearing, as I just earlier went over, is an integral part that affects speech, but it's more global than that as far as the speech pathologist is concerned. Most people think that a speech pathologist would be working on articulation, meaning the way you make your sounds.
Right.
And I know for many, many years when I used to say, well, I do speech therapy, the first response universally I would get was, oh, I can't talk to you. You're going to be listening to me lisp. You're going to listen to me make my L's and my R's wrong. And I really can't talk to you. And that's not exactly what we do solely. Yes, there is some of that that may be done, but I know personally I did that earlier on in my career when I didn't have the experience that I have had since graduating from Hofstra with my master's degree, and I also had a bachelor's from Hofstra as well in this field. And as I moved on, I got into more involved populations. I primarily practiced in the city school system, and I really ran the gamut as far as starting out, yes, with the children that were lispers or sounded like their W's and their R's and their L's were all sort of mushed together some way or another. And that's
my grandson. He's four.
But you
and
know,
I forget what, there's one or two letters.
But you know what? One thing people don't realize is there are milestones in development, so that I would say I wouldn't go off the deep end at all with issues with W's, with R's and L's at a four-year-old level, since it doesn't really come out until a few years down the road. So I wouldn't concern myself with that. Something they used to like to call me up on was, the child is stuttering. But again, those are milestones. There are certain points as a child is developing in speech where it may sound like a disfluency, but if you don't label it as such and treat them that way, but you let it sort of, you're aware of it, but you just keep on going as far as speech is concerned, I hate to say it, they outgrow it and they are fine with it. So I can't say that it's because I'm the world's greatest speech therapist.
Okay.
It's more so knowing how the milestones in speech and language develop as we all move on with our life, either, you know, from birth all the way on to being older individuals.
Right, okay.
So with that, as I moved on, I went from learning disabilities, which were students that basically had pretty much normal intelligence, but there was something within situation that wasn't exactly clicking for them. There may have been something within their perception and understanding of sound, or possibly the means in which they produced sounds. So again, it's more complex than just the S sounding like a TH sound and so
on. Right.
And it can affect your learning process. It can affect your social connections, because many people may feel sort of, gee, I don't really want to talk to anybody or do such a thing because I don't sound like everyone else. So that's one aspect of what a speech pathologist does. Speech pathology is also involved with swallowing. And that became more of part of my work in that I was working with children who were very involved. I had a multiple disability unit that in the city schools, they took them in to the school system, but they were entitled to all the services that they would get through, let's say, a hospital or clinic setting. So we were in the environment with them. I had children that were either picky eaters or were not able to really swallow because of some physical issue. Some of them had G-tubes, which is an artificial means of getting nutrition because you have to stay alive and you have to eat even if you are unable to swallow. So with that, it becomes more perplexed in that respect, which sort of transitions me somewhat into adults in that 300 to 600,000 people yearly in the United States have some impact of a swallowing disorder, which can affect their lives greatly. And it's critical to understand that there is treatment options available to them should they or their loved ones experience difficulty with swallowing. So
now, you're talking eating a meal swallowing or like the swallowing just saliva during the course of the day?
Well, all of the above.
Really?
All okay. of the above.
And that's a speech? I didn't know that. Okay.
It falls within our realm to work on it on an intervention basis.
Okay.
And also on a diagnostic basis. There are tests that either the speech pathologist works hand in hand with a radiologist, or I know when my mother had issues, we went to an otolaryngologist, and he had a speech pathologist on board who actually ran tests using tubes and other kinds of
wow.
Equipment and materials, and to see what was going on when she was swallowing. So those are some of the things that can be done. As you said earlier with hearing, this affects social elements because so much of what we do involves eating, socializing.
Right, right.
And you want to talk about depression when you can't really eat on a normal schedule. You feel like an outcast. You really don't want to be part of those activities. So as you mentioned with hearing and not understanding, swallowing equally is an issue which, you know, is of a concern. What are some of the things that cause a swallowing issue? Because let's say today all of us are swallowing and we're just fine. Why all of a sudden would you start to have issues with swallowing? Well, some of it may be caused by a stroke or some form of a brain injury. And there's things like Parkinson's disease, multiple sclerosis, Alzheimer's disease, amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. There's a whole bunch of things that can also result from a person's head or neck, such as cancer, injuries or surgery, and some of the signs, which, as you mentioned, involved coughing during or right after eating, wet or gurgly sounding voice, feeling like food is stuck in one's throat, and pain or discomfort while eating or drinking.
Okay, I see. I think that's an enlightenment. I had no idea that came under the auspices of
speech pathologist. Absolutely. The speech pathologist will observe how a person's muscles work when they swallow. They may perform special tests to see inside a patient's throat. Treatment may include specialized exercises to improve muscle movement, positions, or strategies to help the person swallow more effectively, and specific food and liquid textures that are easier and safer to swallow. It's not that atypical that there needs to be modifications in what someone is eating. So the hard, crunchy foods may not be as kind on a person who's having issues with swallowing as perhaps a soft food that you can chew and goes down
right.
a little easier. Or we do purees. We have made, or we have been, let's say, working hand in hand, let's say, with our cooks, as we had in the school system, where they would create the meal, but they were able to puree the meal and thicken it to what we wanted. A texture is also very important, and the temperature of the food is also something that we keep in consideration.
Right.
Liquid may need to be thickened so that you don't choke on those liquids. And sometimes food can get stuck in an area where, when you don't realize it or not, when you're not in the eating mode, it goes down into the lungs and trachea, causing forms of aspiration. So
wow.
you can get aspiration pneumonia if you have eating issues. So those are other, it's very, very serious.
It really is, but honestly, I think this is amazing. The stuff that comes under, you know,
speech pathology.
I was, honestly, I was just thinking it's like almost like the Sound of Music, you know, going back to trying to AE and, you know, make the sounds out.
Yeah, it's right. Most people, as I say, think of it more as, what would you say? I think it was Dr. Doolittle. Was that
My
Fair Lady?
Yeah. Oh, My Fair Lady. Not
right,
Sound
My Fair
Music.
Lady.
My Fair Lady, that was
And
the
I think maybe in early days when I saw it and I said, oh, I want to do something like that. And then all of a sudden I end up in this going, where did this part come from? But it is part of the whole process.
You know what we're going to have to do? We're actually out of time, which is amazing. But what we will do, since Ann is an ongoing co-host anyway, follow up more on the speech pathology part of it, because it's very interesting. I mean, the stuff that you referenced, I had no idea. But then you still have the sounds, the different things, high pitch. I mean, obviously, there's enough stuff still to cover.
And what I didn't cover were the cognitive communication guidelines
right.
that could happen as well. So
it's another show. Since you're going to be here, we'll do it. Right now, you're listening to Senior Talk Radio on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be right back.